isn't God good? Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. I'll get this thing right in a minute. I'll say it right there for a second. Y'all, I was reading over some stuff this week, and I had to read this cute thing. We've heard a verse of before, but a cute thing about how many school teachers and, matter of fact, how many's got school-aged children or grandchildren in here? So this is just adorable. This is just adorable. It was at the end of the year, the kindergarten teacher was receiving Christmas gifts from her pupil. The fourth son handed her a gift. She took it, held it over him, and said, "I'm going to know what this is. Some flowers." "That's right," the boy said. "How did you know?" "Oh, just a wild guess," she said. The next pupil was from the sweet shop owner's daughter. And the teacher handed the teacher her gift, and she held it over her head, and she shook it. "So I bet I can guess what this is, a box of sweets." "That's right. How did you know?" asked the girl. "Oh, it's just a wild guess," said the teacher. The next gift was from the son of the liquor store owner. Teacher held the package over her head, but it was leaking. So she took a drop of the leakage with her finger and touched her tongue. "Is it wine?" she asked. "No," the boy replied with some excitement. So the teacher repeated the process, taking a larger drop of the leakage on her tongue. "Is it champagne?" she asked. "No," the boy replied with more excitement. The teacher once more before declaring, "I give up, what is it?" And with glee, the boy cried, "It's a puppet!" Ain't God good?
All the time.
God is good. We're going to talk about something special today. It's very special. That is what a lot of people are seeing in their life right now. I know you personally. I know some of you not so personally. You know me personally, some not so personally. But I can promise you, everybody in this room is experiencing that right now. I'll get into it a little bit further and tell you about this. So today we're going to start. I was going to talk about Joshua again, but just like last week, the Lord wouldn't let me rest. So I'm going here. So we're gonna get our Bible out. And we're gonna turn to Matthew 14. If you don't know where Matthew's at, just open up the Bible, go to the New Testament, it'll be right there staring you in the face. Matthew 14. Stand for the reading of the Word. I'm actually going to start with verse 20. "And they all did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls." Y'all say, "That's awesome."
That's awesome.
"And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." So there was probably 20,000 people that ate that day off of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Wow. "And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples," or immediately, after all this is going on, immediately he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he was up in a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. And the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore did I doubt?' And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, God, and we know, Lord, that you're an ultimate ultimate control. I ask you right now to touch us, Lord, to anoint us all, God. Not just anoint me to bring your word, but anoint our ears and our hearts to hear your word. Not just with the ears, but with the heart. Something special is transforming right now, Lord. This is the year of restoring our balance. And God, you're restoring our balance right now, even with the storm. I don't understand why this was the one for today, but you knew, God. And I ask you right now to minister in a very powerful, powerful way, in the way only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Look at somebody and tell them this. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. You can be seated. Give the Lord a hand clap. We're going to talk about today when the bottom drops out. Has your bottom dropped out lately? Have you had your life explode? Have you found things you were expecting to happen not happening? Or you're thinking you've had your health fail? Yeah, you've had things happen. You would go one way and another thing happens. And we wonder, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this? Why, knowing that I'm your servant and knowing that I'm trying to do your work, why would you allow this sickness or this pain or this problem? So here it goes. Get ready. Storms. Storms are violent disturbances in the atmosphere. They cause damage to anything and anyone in its path. And now we're going to classify our storms as physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Everybody in this place is going through one or more of these categories. Everybody's experiencing unexpected pain, unexpected readjustment in your life, in one or all of these areas. So let me just show you the origin. The Bible tells us there's two origins for your pain. First is Satan. His purpose is to destroy you. Destroy you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It said the devil cometh not, meaning the devil's not asking permission. The devil is not, he has to ask it from God, but not you. He'll come at you. He's not saying, do you think that now's a good day to work you in for a trial? Well, not a week from next Tuesday. No! He hits you when you least expect it, like Lord Lightning, and take you down. But God allows a different kind of purpose for this, and that's to build you up. John 10:10 says, the first part of the thief coming not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the second part says, but I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Might meaning it's there, but it's up to you. It's up to you if you choose to accept him in the middle of your what ifs. In the middle of why in the world is this happening now? God said, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Well, what it tells me is that God's always in control. He's the great God Jehovah. And in every trial you go through, even the thing you're going through now, there's always a lesson. I say this all the time. There's a lesson in your trial. There's a lesson in your mess. You have to ask God to show you, and you can learn from it. No matter how bad it feels, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how much the pain, God's got you. Let's go a little bit further here. Move on in here a little bit. Matthew 14. The pastor speaks of unstable times. Ha! Does that sound familiar? Even if you're not having personal problems right now, turn on the television. Just turn it on. Watch what's happening with overseas, and watch what's happening here. Watch what's happening in Washington, D.C. Watch what's happening in all these cities. Watch what's happening at the borders. Watch all this stuff that's going on. And they are trying to tell us, don't believe believe what I say. Wow. No, I'm not going to believe what you say. I'm going to believe what I see. So it speaks of times where vision is obscure, footing is unsecure, and your security is insecure. So I want you to think about this. Here he is, he's in the ship, collectively, we're all in the same boat. Y'all say we're all in the same boat.
All in the same boat.
And Peter, not only is he having a problem with all the guys in the same boat, but now he decides, once I figure out this is God, I'm really going to step out on my faith. And when he really steps out on his faith, it gets worse. Huh, how about that? You believe it? Hey, it's bad enough, but now I believe this is God, so I'm going to step out and it gets worse. Wow. You see, the bottom had dropped out. There was two storms going on at the same time that day. And if you got a storm in your life today, there's two storms you're facing. The first storm is what's going on the outside. And the second storm is the peace that is disrupted on your inside. It's impossible to have the outside shaken without the inside being shaken too. So let's look a little further here. We're gonna explore a little bit further on this. So now, when you get in these times, watch this. Watch carefully. It is useless to focus on unsure things. It brings fear, frustration, and hope. When I turn on the news, and here's what somebody tells me all the time. Watch this. There's nothing you can do about it. Anybody told you that lately? Have you told somebody that lately? Else, there's nothing you can do about it. Why worry about it? I'm going to worry about it. Whether you like it or not, all of us, our lives are on the line with all this stuff people are taking for granted and pushing and wanting us to listen to what they're telling us instead of what we see. There's a whole lot of stuff going on around this day and time. And then we got COVID coming back. And we got all kinds of things. So if you look at the unsure things, that's why the world is full of fear right now. The world is full of frustration. The world is looking for hope. That's why we're going to fall for the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist, to begin with, is going to offer some hope. But before the Antichrist can come on the stage, the Antichrist spirit must continue to expand. That's why they're fighting Israel so hard. That's why they're fighting the United States so hard and Christianity so hard. Because it's not just an anti-Semitism. It is actually the Antichrist system trying to get into place. The Antichrist is moving, and I believe he's in our midst. I believe that. He just hasn't made himself shown or made himself known yet. So when you find yourself in these unsure times, you need to remember there's some sure things that you can always hang on to. Some of the sure things, remember, when you hang on to the sure things, this is what's really cool because it calms your fear, it calms your frustration, and it brings you hope. I remember as a little child, I might get up in the middle of the night and hear a bump outside. I go running, and I come in running and screaming. I've had that more than once or twice. I went, and my daddy, my great old big daddy, who now is as big as he is or bigger, but back then I was a little bitty thing. I remember once I grabbed him and he grabbed me, I calmed right down. The noise I didn't know. That's why I brought fear. But my daddy's arms, I knew. And when my daddy grabbed me, there was peace. And he said, sit here with your mama. I'll go look, and I'll see what it is. There was five things in this scripture right now. Five sure things. We're only going to go on the first part of it today. If you can focus on these five sure things, I promise you, no matter how crazy it is on the outside, God will do something. I can't change the circumstances all the time, but I can change how I look at it. I'm getting excited because I know Jesus is on his way back. You know, way on the back end of the day before all this mess, I remember a man should get up, he'd get happy and start preaching, go, I believe Gabriel's licking his lips. You know what that means? Before a trumpeter would play a trumpet, he would lick his lips so he could get a good blow on that thing. Woo! Well, I think he's already licked his lips and the trumpet is coming up to his mouth. We're not days away. We're not hours away. We are, through the whole scheme of things, seconds away from what God is getting ready to do. So let's look at this. Ready? We're going to look at some sure things. I won't keep you long today. There's five assurances. Number one is, God brought them there. Let it sink in. God brought them there. Amen. It says immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, but he dismissed the crowd. He was doing more than just dismissing the crowd. He was going to go up and pray because he knew test time was coming. You see, it was no accident. It was no blind move. He didn't stick them out there and go, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. I had no idea the daughter was going to go, oops. I had no idea that your boss was going to fire you. I had no idea that somebody was going to die. I had no idea that you were going to get sick. No, God knows. He knows it. Satan does not. God does. So it wasn't an accident where the blind move. Jesus knew the timing of what was going on, the timing of the storm. Jesus knew the opportunity was present. The storm was about to strike. And it was test time after the lesson. They were all excited. They had taken five loaves and two fishes. They had given it to the master. He had broken it like we did in communion. He broke it and he blessed it and fed 5,000 men plus their wives, plus their children, probably 20,000 people. And when they got to the theme with the five loaves and two fishes, which was a box lunch for a child, when he got through with that and then he had 12 basketfuls left over, wow. They're thinking, God can do anything. And then the storm hits. Have you ever had that in your life? Well, you see God move and you see God do things and you say, man, God can do anything. And then the rug gets pulled out from under your feet. You get sucker punched. Wow. And you're thinking, what happened? I thought God could do anything. I remember very clearly, DC and Daniel and I and their mama were fishing, and they had a little play knife. I talked about this on Tuesday night, but I didn't finish the story because I waited for today. They were fighting over the knife, and DC was much stronger than Daniel. And Daniel said, it's my knife! And DC said, no, it's my knife! Give it here! And so before I could get to him, DC yanked the knife out of Daniel's hand and stabbed himself in the eye. He screamed and I got to him and his eye, he was about five, his brother was about three. When I got to him, blood was just running down his face, and I opened up the eyelid and I saw the white of his eye and I saw it cut. A good quarter inch gash, maybe more. I picked him up and I put him in the car with his mama and his brother, and we were on the way. We're at Haven's Garden, so we're on the way to the hospital. And as we got on the highway, the Lord spoke to me and said, have you spoken to me yet? I said, no, I haven't, Lord. He said, don't you think it's time? So I pulled over, and his mama went ballistic. So what are you doing? Get our son to the hospital. His eyes bleed, just cut. I said, hold on. We haven't talked to God yet. And so I said, get him here. And I put him in my arms, just put my arms, and I held him tight, and I held his head. And I began to pray. And as I began to pray, I said, God, you made him. God, you can take care of him. God, you told me to pray for him, and I believe it. And I gave him back to his mama, and we were just minutes away from the hospital. We go in and tell him he got a knife in his eye. They rushed him immediately back there, and the doctor said, I don't know what to tell you. Said there's blood on him, there's blood on his shirt, there's blood on his face. There's dried blood in his eye, but there's no cut. I agree. We don't know what happened. I said, I do. God healed him. He said, no, wait a minute. You've got to understand. There's dried blood in his eye. There's dried blood on his shirt. Where's that quarter inch gash that you said? I said, look, doctor, you see it anywhere? He says, not anywhere. He wasn't even bloodshot. And the doctor said, well, it had to be a miracle. So the doctor said, just just humor me, and he put some salve in his eye and put a bandage on. I said, well, okay, but he's good. And that night, I was thinking, God, you can do anything. God, you can do anything. I saw the cut in his eye. I saw it. I held it. And you told me to pray. And when I prayed, the cut was gone immediately. The doctors verified it. That night, my wife had she was having some real problems anyway. She's had 5 major female surgeries. And this was like number 2 or number 3. I can't remember. But that night she had a cyst rupture on one of her ovaries, and she woke me up. She was in some kind of pain. Man, was she in pain. And I got up, I sat there and prayed for her. I said, wait a minute, if God healed these eyes, God's going to take care of her tonight. So I laid hands on her and I said, God, do the same thing you did to D.C. And Barry said, I need to go to the hospital, son. I need to go to the hospital. Went to the hospital, and the doctor said, we can't wait for your insurance to approve this. We need to do something now. She's going to get poisoned. And she stayed in the hospital for a week. They took out the cyst. I think they even took out an ovary. It was bad. And I got bummed out. Because that day, God had healed his eye. I saw it. But at the same time, that night, my wife might have been in the hospital for a week. And I walked around and said, God, I don't understand. God, I just don't understand. Now I do. Back then, I didn't. You see, the Lord brought me, us, our family, to DC's Eye. But the Lord also brought us to Beverly's ovaries and the problem that she had and that cyst rupturing and almost poisoning her before they can do the surgery. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But see, when I saw DC's eye, that's when the opportunity was present and the storm was getting ready to strike that night. And so then it was test time. Was I going to trust God if he didn't answer the way I thought he should? So now, let's just go a little bit further. Storms in your life reveal several things. First off, it reveals God's great love for you. Really? God, if you love me and it's hurting like this, I wish you wouldn't love me so much. My daddy used to lie to me every time he whooped me. Boy, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I go, yeah, right. You let me change places with you and see how much it hurts. Well, after I had children, I understood. But also knew that in the training of my children, there were some things I had to do that weren't always pleasant in the beginning, but it was pleasant later. It yielded good fruit. See, God loves us. And he knows there's some things in our life that can only be learned through the storm. During the storms, remember this, and I want you to look at this. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That word endureth in the Greek means to remain, to not flee, to stand when the times are tough. You know, I was looking up this morning on some other versions, and this version right here really, really spoke to me. I'm going to read it to you. James 1 and 12. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons, loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. So, this happens to us. And it's here. This stuff happens. So there's 6 purposes. 6 purposes for the storm, and then I'm going to be closing. 6 purposes. When you think about this right now, number 1, for connection. Sometimes people call it correction. I don't always call it correction. I call it connection because there's a difference. Correction has a negative connotation, but connecting is positive. can receive it better. Psalm 119:71 says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statute. So it's a good thing, because what it did was, as a matter of fact, here's another version. It says, my troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook. Sometimes our connections, anybody ever has a cell phone and you're talking to somebody and then all of a sudden you're not talking to them? And you go, are you there? And then after you pass it about 30 seconds, all of a sudden you're going, you there? Oh, here I am. One of us had a bad connection. So aggravating when you're trying to do something, those connections with these cell phones, and it gets worse all the time. Sometimes those connections with us and God are the same way. He had moved, but sometimes we get going so fast and doing so much and busy even working for God that we forget to involve Him. We've done this way 1,000 times. We'll do it again this way again. I'd love you to talk to God. You'd find out it'd been different. So there's a connecting in your storms. God reconnects with you in a very powerful, powerful way. Also, companionship. The Bible says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed. Psalm 57:1. So first, a reconnection, a connecting, companionship. You draw close to God. You get up under His wing. Number three, conformity. We're conforming our engine, or He's conforming our image, like the image of His Son. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for He whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many heathen. Or in many brethren, not heathen, brethren. He's bifocals. Woo! Among many heathen, all right. Y'all heathens? Bob said on Home Alone, y'all filthy animals. Among many brethren, not heathens, brethren. All right. They thought when Jesus was on earth that He was going to set up an earthly kingdom. That He was going to just take Rome and slap her down. They just knew that Jesus was going to take control. And when Jesus, they took control of Jesus and put Him on a cross, there was everything they thought was going to happen got changed. Everything got changed. Some of you in here, I got it figured out how God's going to do this, and I'm so happy because God's doing it this way, and bam! It don't happen that way. And you're thinking, what's God trying to do to me? He's trying to conform you to the image of His Son. Look, you know, people talk about, you know, I think about, certain people in life, and we're talking about, you know, Chuck Norris. Everybody's talking about Chuck Norris. Oh, you know what? Chuck Norris wears Brandon Richards underwear. But you know what? I don't want to be like Chuck. I want to be like Jesus. Because I'm like Chuck, I got to work out, and I got to take karate, and I got to get all, you know. But if I be like Jesus, I got to stay in His Word. I got to trust Him in the trials. I understand that He's got this. So, first you reconnect, second companionship, third conformity. Next is comfort. God didn't always do something in us, just do something in us, but often He does something through us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, and I understood this very, very powerfully through the loss of my mother, then the loss of my wife, and especially the loss of our daughter, their sister. Oh, God. Oh, I learned this. I hated the lesson vessel is unbroken is very limited. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says that we are, God comforts us in our trials, in our tribulations, so that we can be a comfort to somebody else in their trials. I get called many times from the funeral home and they'll say something like, "We need you, man." I go, "What's up?" And they go, "Well, this family, they don't really have a pastor and they lost a child." And we told them that they would really appreciate having someone there that knew the pain. I walk in and go, I walk in already broken before I get there. And I sit with a broken family. But when I talk to them, it's not from a book. Because I've walked the pain, and I still walk the pain of losing a child. So, God comforts you during your storms so that you can comfort other people when they're going through their storms. And then convictions. Pain, I promise you, pain will solidify your conviction that God is sufficient and God will take care of you. I'm fully convinced through it all that God's got this. I know I'm wearing it. I got a couple on right now. The reason I got a couple on, so I'm getting ready to give some to somebody. But there's the one, the first one, God's got this. And the other one, God's got this. Both of her sayings that she said, and either way I win. God's got this is more than just a saying to me. And I've told y'all, maybe I've told you while I was preaching lately. I don't know. Probably have. I'm going to tell it again. The night before Bethany went to hospice, I was in the reclining chair beside her. She hadn't even talked to me. She was just laying there. It had gone to her brain. And while I'm laying there, or sitting in that reclining chair beside her hospital bed in the hospital room, she went, "Dad! Dad!" And I went, "Oh." And I got, I said, "What is it, Bethany?" And she looked at me and she said, "Dad, I think I'm scared." So I took her by the hands. And I said, "It's okay, baby. Daddy's scared too." And I kissed her on the forehead. And I prayed for her. And I said, "What do you always say?" And the very last words to come out of her mouth was, "God's got this." So this is not some cliche. People say it all the time. It's not some kind of slogan. This was burnt through trials. A whole year at the cancer center. This is burnt in me. It's a lifestyle. Trusting God, no matter how bad it seemed, I'm convinced that God's got this. And I'm convinced that Bethany is in heaven with her mom, with her grandma, with Maddie, the dog, our lab. I see it all the time. I see her running in the fields of the Lord and Maddie chasing her. It's just a beautiful picture I see in my mind all the time. So, the sixth thing, change. Paul's a great example of change. When God got his attention on the Damascus Road, man, oh man, did he change. Something special took place in his life. He's knocked off his high horse. That's where the expression comes from. You got knocked off your high horse, didn't you? Paul got knocked off his high horse. He's on the way to do harm to more Christians. And instead, God stops him. And says, "I got a better way to handle this."
Yeah.
And he said, "Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks?" The pricks were on the back. Whenever you had oxen, or you had horses, the pricks were on the back of where you hooked up your horses at and the yoke. It was on the back of the yoke. And if they decided to kick, they would hit those pricks and it would keep them from kicking back and never sort of stop where they were at. My wife yesterday said something so profound. She had eye surgery, so to correct her vision. She's almost legally blind in that eye. We're trying to get it fixed. Something that was so easy and so simple, she can't see out of that eye. Sees a little bit, but during the day it goes away. And we're believing God's going to take care of that eye. We were down there, we were riding to Raleigh yesterday to her boss man's funeral. And she said, you know, I think about that kicking against the pricks thing. She said, but you know, the biggest part about that is, she said, I said, what is that? She said, you're still hooked up to the cart. You still got to pull. You don't just stop, you got to pull. Wow. Paul kept on pulling, but he pulled in a better direction. He pulled with more power and more authority. Religion couldn't give him the power and authority that God did. Let's watch this. We're getting ready to close. God's plan. Y'all say this with me. God's plan for my future. His plans for my future are far greater than my fears. Y'all say that with me again. God's plans for my future are far greater than my fears. I've been doing this for, ending this way for quite some time now. Giving a challenge every week. This week's challenge. Listen carefully. When things don't go as you planned, refuse to jump to the conclusion. Get ready. Try it this week. A couple of days ago, I sent out a mighty army that said, when things are going wrong, don't become your own Job's comforter. What did that mean? How many times did things go wrong? You go, well, I really blew it. I know God's just upset with me because I didn't do everything right. If I'd have been a better person, this wouldn't have happened. If I'd have done everything right, everything would have been fine. And we become our own Job's comforter. If things don't go as you planned, refuse to jump to the conclusion that God is provoked or angry at me, that He's punishing me, that He's pushing me away. That's our go-to. I hear it all the time. God has to be angry at me. God has to be punishing me. Is He just so aggravated with me that He's pushing me away? I hear it every week. I hear it just about every day, sometimes multiple times a day. I could be in a checkout line somewhere. I can be in a waiting room somewhere. I don't have to be wearing the thing saying I'm a pastor. Somebody will come up to me and go, you're a pastor, aren't you? I go, yes. And immediately they go about trials. And they'll say, is God angry at me? Is God punishing me? Is God pushing me away? This week, refuse to be your own Job's comforter. And don't say that. Instead, realize that God's always got a plan for you. He's got a plan. And in that plan, it may not be pleasant. It may not always be hunky-dory and full of roses. But there's a path that He wants you to go. And I promise you, the path to heaven is paved. Places of pain. We're conforming to Jesus. Jesus' life was not hunky-dory, he'd ride around in a Cadillac and have his assistants come and do. No, he got down with the people and he walked the earth. He walked everywhere he went. He never walked more than 50 miles in a circumference. And look at the impact he's had on his. God's got a plan for you, and there's a path, and that path's going to include some pain. But But he promises you power to overcome. DC, come up here and play something, brother. He promises power. Power. Y'all say power. Power. He promises power to overcome. This week, say, God, when you start going up with something, God, reveal your plan to me, Lord. Reveal it to me. I thank you for the power to get through whatever it is I'm going through. And practice just praising him in the storm. Years ago, and they were working on my, I know every time I say this, people laugh that I had a nose operation. So what'd they do? Add more to it? Yeah, they added 3 more inches to it. I had a very deviated septum. It was 99% clogged on one side and 97 on the other. They said, if we don't do something, you're going to have a heart attack because you can't breathe. And then the doctor told me something that was very encouraging. He says, you sleep out there, boys. Y'all don't like to wake up. He says, so when you sign the papers, just remember, sometimes your guys, especially severe as you've got it, he said, y'all don't like to wake up. He says, there's always that possibility that you won't wake up. So I'm going in to have the surgery, and I'm put in the staging area, and the surgical techs come in and start putting bags on me. And they put this incredible big bag. I'm colorblind, so I'm not sure what color it was, but I've never seen it before in my life, never seen it since. When somebody's having surgery, this great old big bag. And they put it beside me. And I said, what in the world is that? And the surgical tech, with all their immense knowledge, said, got no idea. And I'm already apprehensive. He goes, but y'all boys don't like to wake up. So we're going to do something special for you. And I said, well, thank you. And that's when Casting Crowns, I started singing, I'll Praise You in This Storm. And so I remember singing from that time until they put me under about 30 minutes later. I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm. And I woke up singing, I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm. And I said, the blood, I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm. God's not through with you. Despite what you tell yourself, your best days are not behind you. They're ahead. No, I can't explain the storm. I get asked all the time, why? I don't know. But God does. I tell people all the time, I don't know why, but I know who I can hook you up with that can help. They go, who is he? Give me his phone number. I go, no, 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 no. You have to pray. Today, you may be going through some very, very challenging times. You may be facing things that you never thought you'd have to face. James 1:12. Anyone who meets a testing challenge. challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here today and you've been hit with some challenges that you were not expecting. Some challenges that hit you below the belt. Some challenges that you were not prepared for. Whether it's your health or the health of somebody else. Whether it's a challenge in your family or a challenge with your friends or a challenge at work. And we've all been hit with the challenges of what's going on around us. Now's the time to praise Him. Praise Him in the storm. Don't be your own Job's comforter. Refuse. 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 To give yourself that kind of punishment. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask y'all to pray. Then we're going to pray for Sister Dot. She's down here. So, Sister Dot, I see you. I'm going to be with you. I'll be right with you. But I want to get everybody on board with this. If you're here today, nobody looking, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're going through challenges, especially some you weren't expecting, and you're needing God's touch, but nobody looking. Can you just put that hand up? Yeah, I got some challenges. I've got them. Now, here comes the hard one. If you've been your own Job's comforter, you need to stop. Instead of talking about how bad you've been, start talking about how good God is. Let me ask you a question. How many here's been your own? Do you? Nobody's looking. How many in here would you raise your hand and say, I've been my own Job's comforter? I keep beating myself up. Guess what? You can stop doing that now. Instead of beating yourself up, lift up God and watch what's going to happen. Something special is on the way after this storm, after this challenge. Your life will be changed in a way that you'll thank God that you went through what you went through because of what's going to happen on the other side. Whenever I make the hands up, we're going to pray for each other. And I want you to put your hands over here. We're going to pray for Sister Dot. We're going to pray for each other right now. Pray for ourselves. Say this, Father. I love you.
I love you.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That in your divine providence, you knew I needed this challenge. And I thank you that you have not punished me. You have not tried to push me away, but you're drawing me to you. I thank you, Lord, for the connection. I thank you for the companionship. I thank you, God, for being you.
Help me
to trust you more than ever this year. As you reestablish balances in our life. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. All right, guys, y'all come up here. Okay. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. My sister's legs are swollen. Father, she's had to go through some more treatments. God, we know, Lord, you got this. We're not going to turn from the left or look to the left or the right. We're not going to turn from looking to you. We trust you 100%. Touch my sister. Touch her family. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give them strength. Give them stamina. And, Lord, we thank you, God, that, Lord, when things are happening we don't understand, we know that we can trust you because you do understand and you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Thank you for the healing. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord,
God bless you. It's amazing. We used to sing a song years ago. I think we sing it here too. It's amazing. Yeah, we do. We sing it here too. It's amazing what praising will do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's amazing what praising will do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what's it? I won't worry when things go wrong. Jesus will fill my heart with the song. It's amazing what praising will do. Guess what? This week is our week of praise. Don't be yourself up. If I ever see, hear one of my kids start trying to beat herself up, I go, don't talk about my child like that. I go, I'm talking about me, Dad. I go, I'm talking about my, you too. Don't talk about my child like that. If I hear my wife, I go, don't talk about my girlfriend like that. If I see myself doing it, I get in the mirror and say, don't talk about him like that. God's got this. God's got it. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We're going to finish this up next week. Hope and pray that God does something special for you, and you'll be back next week to see the rest of this. Eventually, I'm going to get to Joshua. God's got this. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. And now, after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Doug to lead us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here this day to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I thank you for never leaving nor forsaking us, for being with us through every great day. But Lord, we just thank you and praise you for bringing us through each and every storm. For Lord, we know that you are there with us. Help us to lift each other up, that we would draw closer unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.